This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Great to have you here on the Clark Howard Show, where it's about you learning ways to save more and spend less, and don't let anyone ever rip you off. If you are someone who uses iPhone or you're thinking of switching from Android to iPhone, don't buy an iPhone over the next many weeks, because Apple, in the phones that they're preparing to launch later this fall in October, are going to have pretty much a lineup of 5G phones. And they're going to make initially, according to Bloomberg, 75 million 5G iPhones. And that means that if you buy a new iPhone right now, you're paying top dollar for something that as the three big cell phone carriers migrate their networks to 5G, you're going to be suffering having a very expensive phone that won't operate on the new 5G networks. Apple users tend to hold their phones for a longer period of time, and it would be a risky venture for you to lay out money. Now, if you live in an area where you don't really care about reception, because the reception you have is just fine, the speed of the network just fine, wait till the new 5G iPhones come out, and the value of used iPhones will be much, much lower, because a lot of people want the latest, greatest when Apple has an inflection point, and the new 5G iPhones will be an inflection point, and so you'll be able to find people's used, now unloved iPhones at a lower price than they would have been before. And so I strongly recommend waiting. Now, what's significant about this is a lot of Android manufacturers have been making 5G phones since last year. But in the United States, Apple is so important in terms of a brand that most Americans have not paid attention to the build-outs of these 5G networks until Apple says it's important, and Apple next month is saying it's important, and people will gravitate. Apple's sales of iPhones have declined, I think it's 4 or 5 years in a row. The introduction of the 5G phones means that iPhones are going to sell lights out. They're going to sell unbelievable numbers of iPhones as people decide this is an upgrade worth having. Now, I've been on 5G since last year, and 5G is a work in progress. The coverage much more extensive than it was when I got a 5G phone last year, and now it started to make a big difference. I'm the only Android user in the house, and the iPhone users keep complaining about network. And I'm like, what are you complaining about? The network's unreal with the 5G, because the 5G, as I explained to you recently, comes in three flavors. One for very targeted, densely populated urban areas that's ultra fast. Then a second one that is for urban and suburban areas. It's a lot faster than 4G, but not lightning fast. And then a third flavor of 5G that gives much better blanket coverage of rural America. There's a big value and reason to go to 5G, and there'll only be more reasons, particularly as we move over the next year. A lot of Android 5G phones now are in the 400s. The iPhones are likely to be a lot more money, but there will almost certainly be an SE version of a 5G, although I have not seen anything confirming that. that will be an affordable choice to go to 5G. It's time for your questions for me that you posted for me at clark.com/ask. Producers Kim and Joel alternate. And Kim, who do you start with right now?
This is from Lynette in Florida. And Lynette says, I've had both my homeowners and auto insurance policies with the same provider for decades. My auto insurance policy started in 1988 and my homeowner's insurance policy in 2002. Because I live in Central Florida, I've been hesitant to reshop my auto insurance policy for fear that my provider would drop my homeowner's coverage if I left them. We face the possibility of hurricanes almost every year now, and I'm very concerned about trying to purchase a different homeowner's insurance policy and whether or not a new company would even take me.
So I'm with you. All the stuff I talk about shopping auto and homeowners insurance, all the things I say, all the ways you make that decision, none of those apply for residents of the state of Florida, because Florida's homeowners insurance market is broken because of the increasing the prevalence of dangerous storms because of rising sea temperatures. And so it has become almost an uncalculable risk, say that three times, for homeowners insurance companies. That's why Florida homeowners insurance is something that if you have it from a company you've been with for 18 years, don't put that at risk. Stay with what you've got for auto and homeowners insurance. Because if you lose that being grandfathered in with that company, you don't have good odds of being able to get with a good company again for homeowners coverage. Joel?
Clark Marcy in Alabama says, I've got a Clark doesn't stink. I took Clark's advice to add my kids as authorized users to my USAA credit card, but I never gave them the cards. Then when my oldest daughter turned 18 last week, we signed her up for Credit Karma, and that card shows up as 7 years of credit history, and she's got a 770 credit score with just that one card. So thank you so much, Clark, for that recommendation.
Well, that is great. And now I want her to apply for her own credit card. If she's a college student, apply for one of the college student cards. If she's not a college student, she can apply for one as a worker and be able to qualify for a card based on having that 7 years of solid credit history and be able to get her first card of her own in her own name. That's a great thing to hear about. Kim?
Avram in Alaska says, our 21-year-old daughter just opened her Roth IRA, and in addition to the Roth, she still has more funds that she'd like to invest. She's in her fourth year of college with no debt. She has a good job and has savings, and she wants to invest $10,000 or more somewhere. To me, the Apple stock looks so good, and they recently did a stock split. Is this something that a 21-year-old should consider?
It's a wonderful question. And in the Robinhood generation, if you're not familiar with the Robinhood app, a lot of very young people who are new to investing have been buying individual stocks, and the two most popular, as best I know, have been Tesla and Apple, which are two of the best performing stocks in the world, partially because the big focus by individual investors in buying them. Now, I am not somebody who's big into buying individual stocks. It's not my thing. And I am a huge believer in most of what someone does being in widely diversified funds where you own little pieces of thousands of companies instead of putting money on just one. That if you put $10,000 into Apple stock as a single stock that has had a huge run-up, you face that Apple and Tesla and other technology stocks, for that matter, are priced for perfection. Life typically doesn't offer perfection to us, so it is a higher risk with the potential for long-time nice reward, but there is risk in buying individual stocks. I would like, if she wants to buy some Apple stock, buy that, but that only be a portion of what she does with the $10,000. I'd like most of it to be in a widely diversified index fund like the Fidelity Zero Total Stock Market Fund, or a combination of that with the Fidelity Zero International Fund, index fund. And that way you own the wide investing community in addition to focusing on an individual stock or two or three or whatever. Joel?
Ken in North Carolina says, I'm looking to buy a rental home property. Given the current COVID crisis, should I wait 3 to 6 months for other opportunities to arise, or should I be looking now? I'd be a first-time rental property investor, and I've worked all aspects of construction over the last 30 years.
This is a very hard time to buy rental property because the housing market has been intensely strong for most price points of housing. A lot of real estate professionals talk about how it's the strongest market they can remember, with a lot of houses having multiple offers. Joel, you yourself have 5 rental properties, and you're on the sidelines right now because nothing meets your financial formula for buying a property. Is that still true?
That's still true.
So if you go with a standard industry formula, one that Joel uses and many other people do, you have to be able to charge rents equal to 1% or more the purchase price of a property. It's very hard with how home prices have moved up to hit that formulation right now. And so waiting for the market to cool a little is probably a better idea so that the price points get more in line. Kim?
This is from Kim in Missouri, and Kim says, I decided to buy my leased car. The lease was set to end on August 5th. I was proactive and sent in a final buyout check on July 14th. My check shows as being received, and my account shows as closed. However, I have yet to receive any electronic, verbal, or written correspondence from them since this transaction. My plates expire in a few days, and I have no bill of sale to provide if I get pulled over by an officer. I might even have to pay a penalty for not registering my vehicle on time. I've called them twice this month, and they just tell me that they're very behind due to COVID, but that they'll share my request and my concerns with their title department. What should I do?
And Kim, do we know from the post of the question, is this a bank's leasing department or an automaker's leasing department?
Automakers.
Okay, that's where the problems have very heavily been in getting these titles released. So I would go back to the dealer where the original lease was done and see, the dealer will have what's known as a factory zone rep. And let's see if the dealer cannot advocate for you and help shake that title loose for you. The other thing is to talk with your State Department of Motor Vehicles. That's also heard this story you're talking about from other people, and find out if they have any remediation policy available for people who are affected in this era of coronavirus. If you run into all dead ends, please let us know, and let's see if we have any other ideas to help you.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
Evan is with us on the Clark Howard Show. Evan, you are a savings maniac, aren't you?
I like to save a little bit.
So you've got a goal of buying a house. How can I be of help with that?
I want to make sure that when I do buy one, that it's on a 15-year mortgage. I want to get out from under it as quick as possible because I really don't like holding debt. But at the same time, I want the payment to be really affordable just in case anything were to happen with work because, you know, things are uncertain now and they've been uncertain before. And so if I were to lose my job or something, I want to make sure that I can still make payments. So I've kind of come to the conclusion that I'd want the mortgage to be around $900 a month on a 15-year. And running the numbers, it'd be like $130,000 total for the mortgage. But houses around where I live are anywhere from $270,000 to $300,000. So right now I'm saving up in a high-yield savings account, but it's going to be a while, I feel like, before I get to the point where I can get to that $130,000 mortgage. But
how many years would it take you to save what's like, we're talking like $150,000. How many years would it take you to save $150,000?
I think it would take me about 6 or 7 years.
All right. I want to tell you, I'm very, very impressed. And this is how people used to do things. Very rare today. I think you could also cut yourself a little slack and look at how much you could afford to take a mortgage out if you did a 20-year mortgage instead of a 15-year mortgage. I mean, that would be still a very reasonable window, and it would afford you a quicker window for you to be able to buy a home and still have a huge amount of down payment and have a payment per month that would fit your $900 or so a month.
Now, with savings rates as low as they are on the high-yield accounts, do you think it's worth opening, like, a brokerage account and trying to invest in that? Because I still feel like it's probably 4 or 5 years out maybe before I buy.
Yeah, you know, my general rule is when you look at an investment window like that, there's too much risk for you in a window like that to do stock investing. I mean, you could do a very, very conservative stock fund that would, or mutual fund that would have stocks and other things in it that lower the risk, but you're still going to be in something where you could potentially in a 5-year window lose some of your money. And as hard as it is to see that you're only earning 0.5% or 1% of interest, I'd rather you do that than be in a position where you work so hard to save more than $100,000 towards down payment on a home and see part of it eroded away by the temporary whims of investments. So I think that you just keep it simple with the savings and build the money. But there's something else as well. You also need to be saving for retirement. And I don't want you to exclude that because in your 20s, every dollar saved for retirement in a Roth IRA or an employer 401k magnifies impact so much for you over the many decades till you'd be prepared for retirement.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Glad you're with us here on the Clark Howard Show, where it's about you learning ways to keep more of what you have. Our websites, clark.com and clarkdeals.com. Because of the economic impact of coronavirus, a lot of state budgets have really taken it on the chin. The good news, there is good news here, that after brutal budget shortfalls because of tax collections in April, May, and part of June, state budgets have started to recover in July and through August, and tax collections have come to a point where they are way up from the historical, unbelievable lows that occurred early in coronavirus as people have reduced activity, but nothing like the reduced activity of earlier this year. So state budgets that looked back in late spring like they were going to face Armageddon, for the most part, are back from Armageddon, but still not especially healthy. The result is, and all states are not equal, the result is that some states are going to face a potential of a double whammy, tax increases and reduced services in the states. Others may trim a little here or there, but should not need tax increases and may have minor reductions in services. A lot of it is based on the condition the states were in financially going into coronavirus. And there are some states that, regardless of the health they were in going into coronavirus, because of the severity of coronavirus where they were, they have suffered great impact. But as I tell you, the states that are in the best financial shape at this point, if you're from any of these states, you know that for the most part, these are states that have handled finances very well historically and were in a position to handle coronavirus. So the states that are in the best shape, according to a report in Barron's magazine, number one, Idaho. Number two, Wyoming. Three, South Dakota. Four, Utah. Five, Nebraska. Six, North Dakota. Seven, Tennessee. Eight, Iowa. Nine, Virginia. And 10, Minnesota. And so you see the big concentration of states in the Great Plains and the Mountain West in that list, but then some states that don't fit that at all, Minnesota and Virginia and Tennessee, not part of, obviously, the Great Plains or the Mountain West. The states in the most trouble that face both problems on the tax side and the service side, in the worst shape of anybody, pre-coronavirus and in coronavirus, the champion, the state of Illinois, is in just a world of hurt and trouble, followed by New Jersey, Kentucky, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, Connecticut, Louisiana, West Virginia, Mississippi, and Kansas. The interesting thing about the states that are in trouble is they're scattered around the country. There's no real pattern in terms of geography with them. It's things unique to those states. The other 30 states are somewhere in the middle in terms of their overall financial health. And if you want to see the full list, oh no, I can't even direct you to it because Barron's does not allow anybody but subscribers to see their list. But the thing is that if you pay attention to local news, you'll hear, read, or see stuff about the hardships that states may be facing budget-wise and what kind of things they're going to try to do to right the ship of the state budget and make it ship shape again. But again, general pattern, the states that are careful with their money going into coronavirus are the ones that are going to have the easiest time coming out of coronavirus. And obviously, the ones like Illinois that had been reckless with their budgeting and spending prior to coronavirus have the deepest hole to dig out of, and the taxpayers will feel that. It's time for your questions for me that you posted at clark.com/ask. Producers Kim and Joel alternate. Whose turn is it?
All right, I'm up, Clark, and Adam in North Carolina has a question. He says, I recently bought a new home, and I chose not to escrow. So, should I pay my tax bill now or wait until the due date early next year in order to pay? It's about a $3,000 bill.
So, the reason you would pay early is in some jurisdictions, you get an early payment discount. And if you have an early payment discount where you live, then that would be worth taking advantage of. If you're not familiar with this, if it's something you don't have where you live, some jurisdictions give you starting 6 months before the final date of a tax bill being due for property, they give you a discount that increases each month earlier than the original payment date, or some formula similar to that. So if you're offered any kind of early payment discount, particularly when savings earn basically 0% now, pay it early. Otherwise, there's no real advantage to you paying early and wait till it's really due. Kim?
Roma in North Carolina says, I'll turn 50 in a couple of months, and I'm wondering if I should join AARP. Are the benefits worth the cost?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there are people who don't want to join AARP because of their political arm. But if you want to get the discounts, it costs like nothing to join AARP. And I have a little secret for you. People under age 50 can typically join AARP. They don't make you prove you're 50 or older, and you could be a very young person getting AARP discounts, but they are designed for people 50 or over who do join AARP, and there are a number of discounts that are well worth it. One of the most popular of them is Consumer Cellular, which is the nation's highest rated cell phone provider, who provides a discount to AARP members. It's just one example. Joel?
Clark Stephen in Connecticut says, I'm looking at a new car. I have $75,000 in cash in the bank, not including investments or 401k. The car that I'm looking at is $41,000 with a 0% loan from the dealer, or $38,000 if I pay in cash. So should I take out a loan and invest the money and make payments even though the car is going to cost $3,000 more?
Wait, so you can pay $38,000 and pay cash, or $41,000 and take out a loan that you don't need?
Exactly.
Pay the $38,000 in cash and call it a day. I mean, that's awesome. And then you're not having to worry about payments you don't need to make. You've got the cash sitting there earning basically nothing. Get your $3,000 upfront discount and smile all the way to the dealership, or really home from the dealership. Kim?
Paul in California says, Hi, Clark. I recently heard a financial advisor mention that individuals should open a personal line of credit prior to needing it, as banks are less likely to lend you money when you actually need the money. Is this still a good idea? Specifically, are there any drawbacks to having access to money, even if you don't intend to use it?
Wonderful question. And if you own a home and you can set up a low-cost or no-cost home equity line of credit, a HELOC, I think it's a good thing to do, because if you did all of a sudden face a severe hardship or financial problem, it is a potential ready source of money. If, on the other hand, you wait till you have hardship and you want to apply for a HELOC, you're likely not to be approved for one right when you really need it. It's like an inexpensive insurance policy. Now, you ask what the disadvantage would be, and this is the most common way that people have a line of credit. The big disadvantage is that it can sit there as a temptation for someone. If you would tend to, knowing that line was available, be more careless with spending money and just put a debt against your home, then don't do it. Don't set up the home equity line of credit, because remember, it's raising the stakes of finances in your life, because you're taking debt against your home, reducing the equity in your home, creating more risk in your life. So it's all about your personal makeup, your personal psychology. If money's available to borrow, you borrow it, then don't do it. If you're not going to be that kind of person and you could have that as an emergency available fund only, then set up a line of credit ahead of time before trouble might strike. Joel?
Clark Howard in Oklahoma says, I got a car.
Got a great name.
Yeah, right. He says, I got a car wrap ad offering to pay me to let them put a sign on my car. Is this legitimate or is it a scam?
So, car wrapping has been on our radar for 22 years now. It first came out in the late 90s, and there were a number of companies legitimately doing car wrapping a generation ago, that all went bust. And as far as today, the odds that somebody is offering you a legitimate opportunity to make money having your vehicle wrapped, the odds are teensy tiny. It's possible, but extremely unlikely. Be on the lookout for anybody who says something like they need your checking account number to deposit your money into, or you need to pay some kind of deposit for having your vehicle wrapped. In other words, know that almost always this is a scam. So be on the lookout for any possible way somebody may be trying to take advantage of you. Car wrapping is something businesses do all the time, more on trucks, delivery vehicles, things like that, is rolling advertising for their business, paying you as an individual unconnected to a business to have your vehicle wrapped with advertising. Very unlikely today. Josh joins us on the Clark Howard Show. And Josh, you are at a decision tree moment with your money. What's going on?
Yeah, thank you, Clark. Just wanted to say thank you for having me on the show. I've been a longtime listener and, you know, really appreciate everything you and your team have done for me and my family.
Thank you for that. So what's your scoop financially?
Yeah, so, I was listening to one of your recent K...
The K economy that economists love to try to distill the direction of the economy down into different letters like U and V and W. And this time they're talking K, meaning that we have a split in the recession that we're in that is one that it may be unprecedented, that we have a circumstance where roughly a third of Americans have stayed fully employed through the downturn that started in March and have less places to spend money on and have been able to pay down debt and reduce expenses and financially suddenly have more money on hand than they're used to, then roughly another 25% of people, somewhere approximately around that number, have been brutally impacted with job loss and terrible, terrible financial circumstances. And then maybe the other plurality of people are just kind of muddling through. So where are you in that K?
Yeah. No, thank you. So luckily we've been able to save a little bit of extra cash. We've continued to be employed. We've worked, remotely from home. And because of that, we've actually been able to save, upwards of $15,000 over the last 6 months.
Fantastic. So do you have some goals for that $15,000? Is there anything that you want to try to accomplish in the next, let's say, 3 years that you'd like to do?
So, currently, right now, I don't have any goals, and that's kind of why I wanted to pick your brain a little bit about how I should either better investment or invest it and use that money to kind of help build us more wealth.
And do you own your own home?
I do own a home. I have no debt, thankfully. Listening to your show, we've been blessed with not having any debt by following a lot of your rules. So we've been blessed in that sense as well.
Well, that's awesome. So do you have a Roth IRA, each of you?
We do. So my wife and I, we both contribute fully to the Roth IRA. And we also continue to contribute to our 401k as well. And in addition to that, we also have our employers, both of our employers are offering a cash balance pension plan as well. So we've definitely done pretty well in the sense of retirement.
Wow. Plan. All right. Either of you have access to an HSA?
HSA, yes. Actually, we both do have access to an HSA.
All right. So if you did an HSA and you contribute the max to it, it's the best place to stash cash that exists for an income earner in the United States.
Okay.
So are you in an HSA eligible health plan right now or no?
Right now I'm not. However, I do have open enrollment coming up, probably sometime in October or November timeframe.
And how's each of your health? Because if you have any pre-existing conditions or anything that requires regular medical visits, a recommendation of you going into an HSA-eligible health plan would be a terrible suggestion on my part.
No, we've done pretty well health-wise as well. So thankfully, you know, we're fairly young and haven't had any complications or any family history of health issues. So we're
right. So let me tell you why the HSA is such a cool place for you to stash cash, because you put it in, you get a tax benefit up front. Then the money grows tax-free through the years. You can even invest it kind of like you do in a Roth IRA. And if you just let that money continue to build over the years, and every year you're HSA eligible, you give the max into it and let it keep growing, it becomes a key tool in retirement, because you just let the money continue to grow, pay any current medical expenses out of pocket, and then you can spend that money tax-free, all the earnings, everything it's gained over the years, on eligible medical expenses when you retire. It's a tremendous long-term benefit. Now, that would be one route. The other thing is, eventually vehicles need replacing, and you could just keep building up a stash of cash, and when it comes time for a next vehicle purchase, pay cash.
Okay.
And I mean, that's the simplest answer. The HSA, the most complicated, but both really benefit you, because you have ultimate choices, because you're living substantially on less than what you make. You're listening to The Clark Howard Show. Thanks for joining us today. The Clark Howard Show is produced by Kim Drobes, Joel Larsgaard, Deborah Reese, and Jim Ayers. And remember, 24 hours a day, we're there to serve you at clark.com and clarkdeals.com.